Why was 6 afraid of 7?
I don't know. Why was 6 afraid of 7?
Because 7 ain't 9.
Hi, I'm Peter Rowlett.
And I'm Katie Steckles. And Peter, what is today's mathematical object?
Today's mathematical object. I need to tell you a joke. A mathematician, a physicist, and an astronomer are travelling through Scotland on a train, right? And I guess they're not Scottish. And they see through the window of the train a black sheep. And the astronomer says, "Aha, I see that all Scottish sheep are black." And the physicist says, no, don't be silly. What you mean is that some Scottish sheep are black. And the mathematician says, no, all we know is that in Scotland there is a field, and in that field there is a sheep, at least one side of which is black. So today's object is a sheep, at least one side of which is black.
Right, good. I'm enjoying how mathematically that joke was told, in that you had to clarify that you're not from Scotland. Like, this was a crucial step.
Well, so many jokes are sort of, it's othering, right? It's like sheep are not black. People don't understand Scotland, you know. It's like, what if you are a Scottish person who lives in a field of black sheep? You know, this joke doesn't work for you, sort of thing. It's kind of, yeah, I don't know. I find this all very difficult with jokes. But anyway, a lot of jokes are really basic, right? A lot of jokes are just straightforward, you know, puns or silly wordplay or something like that. Are you ready for some quick-fire mathematical puns?
Always.
The classic one, of course, is what's purple and commutes?
An abelian grape.
An abelian grape. I've seen this as well as something like what's purple and goes to work on a train, which is like one step removed. You have to then put together commutes.
Commutative grape? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not what it's called. I don't know.
What's yellow and equivalent to the axiom of choice?
Zorn's lemon.
Zorn's lemon. Yep. There's a sense in which these are not being told.
This is just taking me right back to my university days where this was all we did.
Yeah. How do you keep warm in a cold room?
Oh, I don't know that one.
You go to the corner because it's always 90 degrees.
Hey!
That's good.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. I put out a call on Twitter last night. I just idly tweeted, give me your maths jokes, and it's gone absolutely mad. And in that way that Twitter works, I've got like a couple of hundred likes and 100 replies or something, and I now can't use my phone. And it's just this happens from time to time on Twitter. It's just hopeless as a system. It should have some way of coping with the volume of information so that I can still use my phone, but I can't. Where do maths teachers swim?
I'm sure I know this, but I can't remember.
Indices.
Oh, indices, yeah. Yeah.
Of course. And there's all sorts of, there's a fine line between a numerator and a denominator.
Nice.
What do you call an eigensheet?
Oh, I don't know.
A lambda?
Oh, of course, yeah. It's like, they're all in there. I've definitely heard them all.
Yeah.
There's the one about, what do you get if you cross a mosquito with a mountain climber?
Oh, you can't cross a vector with a scalar.
Yeah, that needs quite a lot of prior knowledge, doesn't it?
There's like several wordplays going on in that one.
Who is the roundest knight in King Arthur's court?
No, I don't know.
Circumference?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Of course, of course. I'll stop at nothing to avoid negative numbers.
Yep.
Room full of mathematicians and graph paper. I bet they're plotting something.
Nice.
And so on and so on. And then there are just sort of silly jokes that aren't quite wordplay. What did 0 say to 8?
Nice belt.
Nice belt. What's an anagram of Banachtaski?
Banachtaski, Banachtaski.
And there's another one, which is when I first heard the joke about Banachtaski's paradox, I was beside myself.
Excellent. Yeah. I feel like there's a massive range here between ones that like a school child would tell to their friends in the playground and ones that require a degree in maths to actually get the joke.
Yeah, that's right. So this morning, listeners will have heard it because I put it at the start of the episode, but I asked my son whether he knows any maths jokes, and he told me one, the 789 one. And then he's like, "Do you know any maths jokes?" And I said, No, I don't think I do. Because all that went in my head is like Zorn's lemon and Banachtaski. And what can I tell him that he'll get?
Yeah, by the way, if anyone listening doesn't get any of these jokes, it's probably because there's a maths concept that we've failed to explain. But, you know, feel free to Google things or email us and we'll put them in a future episode for you.
Yes.
Do a full explanation of Banachtaski's paradox.
Why did the chicken cross the Möbius strip?
That one doesn't have a punchline, does it? Well, you just go
to get to the same side. Yeah. There's one that goes knock, 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 knock.
Who's there?
Fibonacci.
Hey!
There's one that goes, is the Fibonacci sequence difficult to understand? No, it's as easy as 1, 1, 2, 3.
Wonderful. I love it.
And now I've told two, I can tell this Fibonacci joke is as funny as the last two you heard put together.
Yep.
Yep, it's a standard. The sum of our aspects of mathematics or mathematical things. All the mathematical functions went to a party. They saw the exponential function sitting by itself. They poked it and said, come on, join in. And it replied, it's not my fault. Every time I try to integrate, I just end up with myself.
Aww.
Yes. I was trying to think if I know any jokes that I've told to Sandy Toxvig on QI, and I can't think of any. Do you have any?
There is one that I've told to Sandy Toxvig on an episode of QI, yeah. So that was the one about infinitely many mathematicians that walk into a bar, and the first one orders a pint, and the second one orders half a pint, and the third one orders a quarter of a pint, and the next one orders an eighth of a pint, and the bartender says, I'm just going to stop you there, and just pours two pints and puts them on the bar, and then says, the problem with you mathematicians is you don't know your limits.
Yes. Very good. Shepherd asks his sheepdog how many sheep he's got. 40, says the dog. The shepherd says, I can only see 37. I rounded them up, said the dog. Yep.
I mean, it's not clear why the dog's talking, but it's a joke. We'll go with that. Yeah.
That's right. So there's a bunch of jokes like this, right? They're silly, they're nonsense, they're whatnot. There are some that only work when they're written down or some that are very visual. There's one that I really enjoy, but it only really works when it's written down, which is the one where there are only 10 or 10 kind of people in the world, those who understand binary and those who don't.
Yeah.
And that works on the ambiguity that 10 written down, you read it as 10, but really in binary it's 2.
Yep.
If you say it out loud, you have to give that away, which makes it not really work. And then there are tons of variants of that joke, right? There are three kinds of mathematicians, those who can count and those who can't.
Nice. Nice.
There are two kinds of mathematicians, those who can extrapolate from incomplete data.
Nice.
Yep.
That's so enjoyable.
Yeah. There are some actual, like the binary one, there are 10 kind of people in the world, those who understand binary, those who don't, and those who weren't expecting this joke to be in base 3.
Hey.
For example. There's a whole load of these, and what I quite like about some of these is that they're getting extremely meta because they kind of rely on you knowing this other joke to then sort of build up to this joke. And this is this sort of, if you like, folk community kind of gets into several layers deep into telling jokes to itself. There's a relatively famous paper, sort of well-known paper in the notices of the American Mathematical Society about mathematical folk humour. This defines a folk as a group with a linking factor, and therefore mathematicians are a folk. And it says, and like all folk groups, mathematicians have their own folk speech or slang, proverbs, limericks, jokes, and other forms of folklore. The other thing I found, and then I got distracted by a massive thread of replies on Twitter that are still coming in, by the way, I don't know what to do, that John Allen Palace wrote a book, Mathematics and Humour, in which he says both maths and humour are forms of intellectual play. He talks about logic, patterns, rules, structure, they're all essential to both maths and humour. He says mathematics. Of course, he would say math, I suppose. He's American. Although, of course, he says the emphasis is different in the two. In humour, the logic is often inverted, patterns are distorted, rules are misunderstood, structures are confused. But these transformations are not random. They must still make sense on some level. And he also says both mathematics and humour are economical and explicit. The beauty of a mathematical proof depends to a certain extent on the elegance and brevity. And similarly, a joke loses its humour if it's awkwardly told, if it's explained in redundant detail, or if it depends on strained analogies. You know, so he's kind of making this. I think that's quite nice. I'm quite keen on mathematics as a form of intellectual play. So I quite like this appeal to me as an idea.
Definitely, yeah. And I think there is a skill to telling jokes. And it's about kind of understanding the rhythm of it and making sure that you include all of the right details. You know, in your initial example, the fact that they weren't from Scotland was key to the fact that they wouldn't know this information. Mm. And I remember because Simon Singh did the book about maths in The Simpsons, and he talked to the writers on The Simpsons and said, why are there so many mathematicians working on a comedy show? And one of the conclusions that he came to was that there is this sort of connection between the type of kind of logical thinking that you use to do mathematics. And it's about having rules, and it's about understanding rules and following rules, but it's also about breaking rules. Mm. And that's how comedy comes around, is when you've got these sort of incongruities or things that don't quite work or make sense. And you have to know what the rules are in order to do that kind of wordplay and messing around with things.
Yeah.
And so there's something about the mathematical brain that actually lends itself very well to this.
Yes. I was searching around sort of maths and jokes, and I found this interview, old interview with Matt Parker. And he talks about that he's not the sort of comedian who stands up on stage and does one-liners, but his humour comes from kind of being a mathematician viewing the world through that very logical way. And I guess that's sort of related. So then you get into, if mathematicians are a folk and this humour is part of this folk community sort of thing, you get into these jokes that sort of tell you something about how mathematicians work or how mathematicians kind of view themselves, which I think is the tradition into which the sheep joke fits.
Yeah, this kind of, you know, a mathematician's always going to overanalyze the situation or reduce it down to its very simplest components.
Yeah.
And you almost feel like these are the kind of jokes that non-mathematicians would tell about mathematicians to kind of poke fun at them.
Mm.
But at the same time, you kind of need to be a mathematician in order to understand the mathematical experience enough to be able to write a joke like this. So,
yeah,
you know, where do they come from?
Yeah.
I guess it's maybe us poking fun at ourselves somehow.
Yeah, maybe. I think so. And also, of course, they vary. So the way I told it, the opening joke, I went for an astronomer, a physicist and a mathematician, because then the astronomer extrapolates from the incomplete data to say that all Scottish sheep are black or whatever it was, because astronomers have very little data and have to make some, you know, do their science on the basis of limited observations often. And then the physicist is sort of the hero of the piece who makes the reasonable statement that only some Scottish sheep are, and then the mathematician completely overdoes it. So
yeah, the physicist is an experimentalist, right? So all they can ever conclude is that I have observed a thing and therefore this is a thing that may exist.
Yeah, I guess
that exists in some places.
But I feel like the physicist in the joke is the most like the average member of the public would view it. You know, like, so it might be that a physicist made up the joke. I just don't know. But I think, so there are a bunch of these. I really like, there's various ones about making a cup of tea. One version of it is you sort of ask a mathematician how to make a cup of tea. And there's a kettle on a hook and there's a stove and so forth. It's the kind of kettle where you have to boil water on a stove. I don't know. So they take the kettle off the hook and they fill it with water and they put it on the stove and they boil the water and they put a tea bag in the teacup and pour it and they've made a cup of tea. And then you ask them, all right, so the kettle's here on the side. Show me again how to make a cup of tea. And they put the kettle on the hook and then say, I've reduced it to an already solved problem.
Excellent.
I think that's brilliant, because that's something about how mathematicians work. I've used that in class where I'm like, now what we're going to do is we're going to make this more complicated, because last week we saw how to solve the more complicated version of this. You know, that's definitely a thing that happens in mathematics.
Yeah, it's about using already proven theorems, right? If you can take a shortcut to a thing that's already been proven, then your work is done.
Yeah, definitely. But then there are the ones where mathematicians are compared with, you know, are basically shown to be I don't know, idiots, I don't know, or other disciplines are. There's one that goes, first mathematician says my favourite number is pi because it explains the circle, and the second mathematician says my favourite number is e because it explains the exponential function. And the engineer says, yeah, my favourite number is also 3. Which I quite like, but it's mean to engineers, right?
I mean, it is and it isn't, right? They've obviously made a sensible, you know, in the context that they use, you know, pi is rounded.
Yeah.
It's completely sensible to do so. So it's not.
Yes.
But I love that. That's really nice.
Yeah.
There's the one about, you know, I can't remember the exact details, but some trio of different types of scientist and mathematician are given some fencing, and they have to make a fence that encloses the largest area. And one of them does a circle, because that's there. And then the mathematician just builds a tiny fence just around their own feet and goes, I'm on the outside.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good lateral thinking sort of joke, isn't
it?
Yeah.
But yeah, is that a clever solution, or is that actually a completely impractical and useless solution, because you don't want a tiny fence just around yourself, you actually want a fence that's useful. And I think sometimes there is that sort of the thing that you're taking the mickey out of is the fact that sometimes mathematics will give you a trivial solution that's not very good, or that you kind of miss the point of what you're trying to do. There's the one that I don't know if it's a mathematician or a computer scientist or a logician or someone, but they're sent to the shops to go and fetch shopping. And the instruction they're given is go and buy 2 loaves of bread. And if they've got any eggs, get a dozen. And they come back with a dozen loaves of bread. And the person who said it was like, what are you doing? And they went, they had eggs. That's the strict interpretation of what you said is accurate, but also quite useless.
Yes, and similar to that, there's a mathematician, a physicist, and a statistician who go hunting, and they see a deer, and they want to kill this deer. So the mathematician works out all the angles, calculates the arc of the bullet, takes the shot and misses 20 feet to the left. The physicist considers the wind resistance, the drag from the barrel and so forth, lines up the shot and misses 20 feet to the right. And the statistician jumps up and shouts, we got it!
Nice.
There's one, there are, as you say, there are loads of these where there are different, three different disciplines. I mean, it's a bit an Englishman, an Irishman and a whatever, isn't it? But there's one, it's often a mathematician and a physicist and somebody from another discipline, but there's one here that you sometimes see as engineer. I've seen it as chemist, which seems to work quite well. So let's do that. A mathematician, a physicist and a chemist are in a hotel and they each wake up because there's a fire in the corridor. And the physicist, knowing about how fires work, uses a blanket and puts it over a bit of the fire. The chemist goes for the fire extinguisher, understanding the chemistry of how fire extinguishers work, and uses that. And the mathematician walks to the sink, looks at the water and says, ah, a solution exists, and goes back to bed.
Yep. Yes.
But then, so I really like, it's not exactly a mathematical thing, but it comes into the similarity between maths and humour. I really like meta jokes, which are kind of jokes about jokes. So there's a classic meta joke, which is how many people of a stereotypical group does it take to change a light bulb?
Mm.
And the answer is N plus one to change the light bulb, and N to act in a way that's stereotypical of that group.
Yes.
Which I quite like.
That's a neat and efficient joke telling. Yes. That's all the jokes told in one go. I like it.
So I saw one of these in the Folk Humour paper. An engineer, a physicist and a mathematician find themselves in an anecdote. Indeed, an anecdote quite similar to many you have no doubt already heard. After some observation and through calculations, the engineer realises the situation and starts laughing. A few minutes later, the physicist understands too and chuckles to himself happily, as he now has enough experimental evidence. This leaves the mathematician somewhat perplexed, as he observed right away that he was the subject of an anecdote and deduced quite rapidly the presence of humour from similar anecdotes, but considers this anecdote to be too trivial a corollary to be significant, let alone funny. There's a lot going on there, I think.
Yep.
So I think that might do. There are millions more math jokes you can find by Googling or apparently by shouting out on Twitter.
Well, or just look at Peter's Twitter feed from however long ago it was we recorded this podcast. There's a clue.
Yes.
As to when the podcast was recorded for any detectives listening. But yes, we are on Twitter if you would like to follow. So I am at Stex. And a large feed of jokes can be found if you go to Peter's Twitter feed.
So I'm at Peter Rollerton. The podcast itself is at Maths Objects.
And both Peter and I blog at aperiodical.com, which is where you can find more episodes of this podcast.
And if you would like to talk to us, send us jokes. Perhaps I shouldn't ask for more jokes. But if you've got any idea for episodes, I'd like to thank Colin Beveridge, who suggested the sheep, one half of which is black, as the topic for one of our episodes. And we've had a lot of fun with that. So thank you, Colin. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on objects@aperiodical.com.
The music is Funk Game Loop by Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons. Thank you.